In this episode, you're going to get my New Year's resolutions as a business owner, and I'm also going to share how I'm tactically using video to amplify results.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Hey-o! All right, all right. So, super excited for this episode. I've been waiting to do it for a long time. And in a moment, I'm going to explain my New Year's resolutions as a business owner. And I'm also going to show you how I'm taking my business to the next level by using video very strategically, right? And how I'm going to boost ROI in doing so. But first, here's the interesting news of the week. As Us Magazine reported, actress Debbie Reynolds died at the age of 84 in Los Angeles on Wednesday. Reynolds' death comes just a day after her daughter, Star Wars actress Carrie Fisher, died, also in Los Angeles. Now, Reynolds has reportedly been very distraught since Fisher suffered a medical emergency on an airplane flight from London to LAX on Friday. And understandably so. And this is an important story for video marketing, but it is an important story for me because this is exactly how two of my favorite people passed away. You know, I was partially raised by my grandparents. And if you've been listening to this podcast, you would know that from time to time, I tell you stories about my grandparents and relate them back over to video marketing. And the reason is, they're two of the most important, impactful people in my life, and not because my parents weren't around. You know, I say that I was partially raised by my grandparents, and it's not because my parents were doing other things or they weren't part of my life. Exactly the opposite, because my grandparents worked at my parents' businesses, and every day it felt like one of them was in the house or picking us up, maybe meeting for dinner. They were just, in a really great way, always around, very present in my life. I couldn't have been luckier. And over a decade ago, during their 67th year of marriage, everything changed. You know, my grandmother got sick. She was sick for about a year, and my mom, my grandfather, and I were at her bedside when she peacefully passed and took her last breath. And during the next 48 hours, my job was to go with my grandfather, who I call Pop, and I went to the funeral home with him, and we went through my grandmother's wishes and just exactly how they laid it out together and the way that they wanted, you know, their remains to be taken care of. And over the next 48 hours, I slept at the foot of my grandfather's bed to keep an eye on him. You know, the last time he was in his mid-80s, the last time he was by himself, you know, technically single, was when he was 22 years old. And so I just knew that I wanted to keep an eye on him. And the second morning at 5 a.m., I woke up because my grandfather was telling me that he felt cold. You know, he said he had chills. So I grabbed the blanket from the closet, and I just started warming up his body, and I remember rubbing his back, and right before my eyes, my grandfather went into a massive heart attack. And when I got him to the ER, he wrote a note to the doctor that said, "I just lost my wife, lost my will to live." And shortly after, Pop passed. And I got that time with him. That time with him, caring for him, is among the most precious jewels that I carry around with me in my heart, right? I'm sure you've had situations in your life, but on Thursday, it was a Thursday, I went with my grandfather, you know, to take care of my grandmother's wishes, and then just 48 hours, I was back in the same funeral hall with the same man going through my grandfather's wishes. But this time I was by myself. TMZ reported that Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher might have a joint funeral. And That's what we did with my grandparents. You know, I eulogized my grandparents at the same time. It's among the biggest honors in my life. And just like Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher's lives are intertwined, their stories can't be separated. And in my life, there wouldn't be a Bernie Wellen without Fritzy Wellen. So, you know, lives are just intertwined and we grow and love and all that stuff. Now, how does this fit back into video marketing? Well, I don't know if it does, except if I get an opportunity to talk about my grandparents and how much they mean to me, then I definitely will do it. You know, I've been talking in the past about how Twitter is dying a slow death. I've been sharing this with you, and I've been telling you about the writing on the wall. Twitter just this week, TechCrunch wrote a really interesting article about Twitter overcharging video advertisers and having to issue refunds back to them. And Twitter's video ad metric inflation came at a horrible time for them. Really interesting story from the Business Insider. But the big picture here that you need to know about is Twitter has a problem with the number of people that you can see in your feed at any given time. It's everybody, right? And they didn't develop an algorithm like Facebook did. And Facebook's problem is the opposite. They developed an algorithm that was so robust that you didn't get to see people that would be of interest to you because Facebook toggles it down and Twitter just gives you too much. And, you know, and so Twitter's really going through a tough time right now because their numbers have peaked, and also their, you know, their inner circle of founders and early stockholders are all in the process of trying to get out because Twitter's trying to sell, and that's an indicator that people are jumping for their golden parachute. So this problem of Twitter's video ad metric inflation came at a terrible, terrible time. Twitter's battling Facebook for live streaming supremacy with the launch of 360 video. It happened this week. It's really difficult to explain how 360 video can be used for marketing purposes. Sure, you can show a room. I was approached by somebody that is doing something for one of the major American sports leagues. And I had a phone call with them this week to talk about how we use video or how we'd recommend video be used, and then to start laying out a strategy for them. And so the way that you use 360 video is it's a complement. It's not a substitute to your traditional video marketing, and it's a big topic. I'm not going to dig in too deep here, but I want you to think about how you use that video as a support that'll help you tell a bigger story, but your bigger story really has to be on railroad tracks. It has to have a beginning, middle, and end, and you can't do that with 360 video. This week, I got an interesting out-of-the-box business news story for you. Volkswagen purchased Pay-by-Phone for parking. Now, Pay-by-Phone is an app that lets you pay, you guessed it, pay for parking and parking tickets with a smartphone. And they've been acquired by Volkswagen Financial Services, which isn't the automotive maker. Instead, it's the bank, right, that you go and get your loans from if you've purchased a Volkswagen or you have purchased or leased an Audi. You can go through them. And they're kind of, you know, they're the ones that give you the best deals for that Audi or Volkswagen. And it's really interesting. You know, Pay by Phone is based in Vancouver, BC, where I was a couple weeks ago. Even recorded a podcast from there. And they operate in Canada, US, France, Great Britain, Switzerland, and Australia. And in 2016, the company processed, get this, $250 million in parking payments from 12.5 million users. Now, that's some serious business, right? Did you even know that Pay by Phone existed? Did you even realize that the appification could now be used for paying parking tickets. It's pretty cool. So why is this an out-of-the-box business opportunity? Why is it important for you? Look, I'm sure by now you've noticed that in each episode, I try to share business innovations, market signals, and new trends with you because I want you to get into this habit, the habit of looking for opportunities, market changes, fluctuations, evolutions, and openings in your industry. And by creating that type of a habit, it can ultimately change your life and other people that come into your life. Now, this is a daily exercise that my dad taught me. He did it with me every single day. Like if I, you know, when I was a kid, if we were waiting for my sisters to get out of dance class, there, and let's say there was a vacant office space next door to the dance studio, you know, my dad would stop there and he would engage me and he'd say, look over there. Do you see through that window? What are they building there? What are they trying to do? And we talk about it. That exercise eventually became a habit. I use it every single day. My dad would say, now, next to the dance studio, what would be a good business that could support all these girls that are coming in and out of this dance studio, right? And could make money off of that foot traffic. Or if we were sitting in the car and there was a building being developed, he'd say, what do you think in this city, knowing the stores around here, what would be valuable to go in there? And we would talk about it. Let that be a habit for you. Develop it because it'll help you be curious and think of innovation and where other people aren't thinking yet. And that brings me, of course, like everything else, all roads. They used to say all roads lead back to Damascus, but the truth is now all roads lead back to Kardashian. Kourtney Kardashian shared video of herself performing a ski trick on Thursday while vacationing in Aspen. The 37-year-old reality star posted a Snapchat video showing her in blah, 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 blah. Look, I don't even need to read the story. You're exhausted about the Kardashians. I'm exhausted by them. But I don't want to dismiss them, right? I know we've had enough of them and their family and always being in the news. I mean, frankly, I was surprised that they didn't somehow show up in WikiLeaks and be a part of the presidential election. But what they've done from a marketing perspective, how they've kept us interested, the way they use social media, how they use video, the way that they've dominated Twitter and interact with each other and use it like they're text messaging each other is nothing short of marketing genius, right? I'm sure a lot of people don't agree with me. I'm fine with that. I just find them to be, you know, their 15 minutes is long expired, but what they're doing with marketing is always really interesting. With all this talk about the Russians hacking America's elections, there's another Cold War that you should really know about, and it's happening in our industry. Competing social networks are in the rapid escalation of video. I've kept you up to speed on it, but it's kind of a social media arms race for which social network can provide higher quality video options. And each week, every time I get behind this microphone, I've got to update you that there's new information and it didn't disappoint this week. So Forbes reported that Twitter introduced a new way of seeing what's happening on Twitter through live 360-degree videos in what many believe is a competitive move to counter Facebook's moves in videos. Twitter is seeking to keep its edge as a place for breaking news and live events. I think Twitter's really interesting for breaking news. I actually prefer it, right? I want to get immediate reaction. If I'm watching a football game, I want to watch the hashtag to see how people are responding and the funny things they're saying. If I'm listening to a presidential debate, follow that hashtag, listen, laugh, enjoy it. I think it's really, really a great tool for that kind of environment. Now, recently, the big Zuck, Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg, told BuzzFeed that, quote, we're entering this new golden age of video, and I wouldn't be surprised if you fast forward 5 years and ahead and most of the content that people see on Facebook and are sharing on a daily basis is video, end quote. And the reason the Big Zuck is so confident video will rule is because, well, he's got access to something that almost everybody in the world does not have access to, right? So what is it that Zuck has that makes him so confident that video is the king and will rule even his own platform? Well, he's got access to the interest of 1.7 billion people. And what he's discovered is people prefer video over other types of content, over text, over images, over audio. They are significantly more likely to share video and learn from video than they are with any other type of content. Now, that's important. People are will spend twice as much time if video is there, and he's in the spending time business on his platform. Now, as a business owner, or maybe as a marketing lead for a company, aren't you in the same business? I mean, you're in the business of when you get a prospect, how long can you get them to stay on your site? Can you influence and educate? Can you convince and convert at faster rates, right? And one of the really cool things about Zuck having this 1.7 billion people in his database is the dude can run probably one of the largest population studies of all time. If 1.7 people are demonstrating they prefer to learn and be entertained by video, well, then there's better than a pretty darn good chance that your customers feel the same way about video. You know, at the bottom of this article is really interesting. It's a Forbes article, and contributor TJ McHugh explains, quote, "Forbes and many in the media landscape are also looking to the visual side of storytelling," that means video, "and how to engage with what they believe is transgenerational, the mobile user. People are far more interested in video than anything else," he goes on to say. If you want to read how Forbes is adapting to video's dominance, there's an interesting link that I'm going to provide on the show notes page at wirebuzz.com/56, and you're going to see that there are two tradition-busting diagrams revealing what Forbes is going to do next and what other newsrooms should do also in how they tell stories visually. Now, this is important information for you. Strip away a newsroom, think about it as a business. If there's a new way, a new diagram, a new way to convince and convert, dude, it's going to be with video. Because video gets the best results. So if you want to see how Forbes is adapting video into their news process, just go to the show notes page for this episode, wirebuzz.com/56. Now, when you think of 56, what I want you to do is I want you to think about Lawrence Taylor. Never a more badass man than Lawrence Taylor. Look, I'm going to be in San Francisco for the 35th annual J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference, January 9th through the 12th. And if you're going to be in town in the Bay Area, reach out to me. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to hear about your business, find out what you're working on. That weekend, January 13th, I'll be in Napa, California, working with some of my clients' leadership teams on how they use video, how they incorporate it into their process. And I'll also be enjoying some really kick-ass wine. That doesn't suck. And if you're in Europe and you regularly follow this podcast, I will be filming with the Wirebuzz crew and meeting with clients and speaking at the European Cancer Conference, which will be held in Amsterdam from January 24th through the 30th, 2017. If you've been following me, well, you must know by now that I'm a cancer patient advocate. Helping to educate patients and physicians through digital tactics is a big part of my life's passion. And the reason is, I am a grandson, the son, and a husband of cancer survivors, and it's my way of giving back to the community that helped the most important women in my life. You know, I built three of the largest cancer patient awareness initiatives, and Wirebuzz has over 30 clients in the oncology space that in different ways are all working to beat cancer, to help people that we love and pray for on a daily basis. So from the latest research results that I'm seeing, It's important for me to tell you, because we're really out there on the front lines with a lot of these companies. I'm extremely optimistic. And for the first time in my life, I'm starting to feel like we're close to beating cancer. And I know that this sounds really up high in the sky. I'm seeing some really remarkable early data that's getting me excited. And if you're anywhere near Amsterdam and you want to talk about your business while I'm out there, meet in person, especially if it's not about cancer, don't hesitate to reach out to me, all right? After 5 days of medical science talk, I'd welcome a break to talk about your business. And in this episode, I'm going to share with you my personal New Year's resolutions as a business owner, because I know what, you know, I know that what I've been learning is going to help you take your business to the next level. You know, last year, I learned what's probably the most important lesson a business owner could ever discover. I learned how to optimize my company's sales process. And, you know, now to clarify, I didn't learn this in a vacuum. I learned this with my WireBuzz team. You've heard many of them in past episodes. And by studying our prospects and their content engagement, interest, and process, you know, what type of content they like, why they don't read, and how they get to make a decision quicker. You know, when I study all that, what we've done is we've discovered how to speed up the way we convince and convert so we can close more deals faster. You know, this is the holy grail of business discoveries. It was amazingly liberating for me. You know, something that most businesses never get the privilege of knowing. And what we've learned, we're now able to replicate. That is super exciting. Do you have any idea how your prospects prefer to learn? Seriously, do you know how they like to learn? And I know that this sounds like some new age bullshit, but just bear with me for a second. If I knew how our prospects prefer to learn, I could educate them faster, right? And then I could close more deals. And isn't that the entire goal? You know, sometimes I think the text is the enemy, right? Because they aren't reading it. But text isn't the enemy. Text used to be the king until I realized that people weren't reading it. A lot of businesses aren't there yet. They still think text is king. They don't get the same eyeballs on it. They don't get the same processing power and the shareability of text. Video rocks all of that. So text isn't the enemy. The enemy is attention span and information fatigue. You know, people are 4 times more interested in watching video than reading text. They're 3 times more likely to share it. They process information in a video 60,000 times faster than they do with text. And because of that, they're 144% more likely to buy after watching a product or a service video than they are if they're reading about it, all right? Text is not the enemy. The enemy is attention span. And of course, information fatigue, which is an overload everywhere. You know, I got started in digital marketing back in 1999. I learned how and why Google selected one website's content over another. And I was able then to take that information and search engine optimize my site to generate 36 million visitors a year on zero advertising and zero marketing dollars. Now, once I figured that out, and I put it to use and created a strategy around it and then executed, right, and started creating content that I was search engine optimizing, Google pumped so much traffic my way that I didn't know what to do with it. They turned the spigot on, and it was a fire hose spigot. And those early years of online marketing were all about optimization for search engines. Now the big winners in this area, they know how to optimize their sales process. I mean, that's where all the money is. That's where the rubber meets the road, where the budgets get justified, and where average companies become iconic and leave their competitors in the dust. You know that to be true. If you could convince and convert 67% faster this year, what would that do for your business? If you were in sales, what would your commissions look like if you were closing 3 deals in the same amount of time that it took to close 1 deal, right? Well, in 2016, when I discovered the holy grail for my business, we discovered how our prospects want to learn. And that's the biggest advantage I could have ever been given, right? So as a result, we generated more revenue than ever. We were closing deals 67% faster, 3 deals in the same amount of time that it used to take to close one deal. And 24 months ago, that would have been unheard of. Now, I know people don't want to read. I know that with all my heart. And if I shifted like I did in 2016 from making people read and relying on me sending people emails with long text and PDFs to download and, you know, a bunch of stuff that they don't want to read, I'm going to get poor results. Reading is not their preferred way of taking in new information. Regardless if you're dyslexic like me or if you're a comfortable reader, reading is still hard. It feels like work. It takes real concentrated effort. And in most cases, you can't even do that at work, right? Because people keep interrupting, walking in. You've got a meeting or a phone call, a client comes in, an email that catches your eye. Reading takes real concentrative effort. You have to be present in the moment. So people put it off, right? They delay their reading and they may or may not ever get back to the information that you sent them. You know, for example, if the NSA broke into my office right now and grabbed my computer on any day, at any given moment, just walked on in, or even more exciting, let's say they kicked the door in at my home. You know what they would find? They'd find a dude who simultaneously rocks a Safari browser with 30 open tabs of absolute shit I've got to read. And another browser, a Chrome browser, with another 30 tabs of, you guessed it, more business reading. Surprise, right? I'm sure you've got to be the same exact way as me, because everybody who's trying to sell me anything is waiting on my ass to read their browser tab. I may get to it, or God willing, that browser is going to crash come Thursday and I will never think about their business again, because the pure velocity of information that's coming at me that I have to ingest on a daily basis in order to survive is insurmountable. And to think that I've got to then set time aside and read something in long form to learn about a vendor's product or service that somebody's trying to sell me is almost too hard to come to terms with. Now, that's the battle that vendors are stuck in when they're trying to convince and convert me into a new customer. Am I any different from you? Am I any different from anyone in your office or anyone that you're trying to sell to? You know, one of my New Year's resolutions is to learn from the way I prefer to be marketed to pay special attention to it. You know, if somebody is marketing to me and it catches my eye, I want to make a special note to replicate that or to learn from it. And then also take note of marketing that just doesn't work on me. Right? And the reason is you don't have to be the smartest person in your industry. That's a birth blessing. It only happens to one. Lord knows it didn't happen to me. But if you want to be great, you have the choice. You know, being the smartest isn't a choice. Again, it's a birth blessing. But if you want to be great, you can make the choice to be the most resourceful. And that's me. I want to look at what works, what I'm susceptible to, how it feels when I get it. And then I want to replicate marketing campaigns and initiatives for my business or my clients that have a similar vibe, right? Keep learning in 2017. Be on a constant quest to learn from others, replicate what works, and accelerate that learning curve. You know, I also know that my prospects have calendars that look like mine. Clearly, we're all just juggling like circus clowns, new tasks, new promises, meetings every 30 minutes, and who's got time to really evaluate a new vendor? And if you have time, will you ever have the concentration that you need to read? In our office here, no bullshit, this is 100% true. In our office here, people ask if they can leave to go do some reading. Is your office any different? Are your prospects any different? I doubt they are. We are all friggin' juggling circus clowns nowadays. And if you want to convince and convert at faster rates, you have to sidestep that. So now I know that my prospects prefer to evaluate me, right? And evaluate our company through video, and it made my life just incredibly easier. In 2016, we used video as a centerpiece of our sales process and started closing deals in 3 weeks instead of 8. Now my business, for the first time, my business is scalable. And that's why one of my most important business resolutions in 2017 is to take what I've already done here and start building a sales team. And yeah, I've already got a sales team in place, but I mean really replicating a sales team to go out, hunt, bring in new deals, to give them the video tools that boost our conversion rates and to generate higher ROI. That is my business goal, right? For 2017, but it really shouldn't be any different from yours. People prefer to learn and be convinced through video. I'm also going to use video to retarget or remarket to people that have come to my website and to keep me top of mind and pull prospects that once visited my site back for further evaluation and discovery about Wirebuzz and what we could do to help them amplify their sales or marketing goals, leveraging the power of video. And it's a really affordable way to do that. Now, I'm going to be using personalized video in 2017. And so I'm going to use it mostly, I believe, on LinkedIn or through email, maybe a combination of both. Now, why am I telling you my strategy? I'm telling you my strategy because I'm not the slightest bit worried that someone else is going to steal it. And if they did, I'm really not worried they're going to do it better than me. Okay. I'm also telling you my strategy because I want to provide value. I want to make sure that this podcast is a place where you can make your business and your initiatives more successful. So what I'm going to do is, and I've already laid this out and it's already in production and we've already written the scripts and it's going to be starting really soon. I think the first week of January, 2017, I'm going to be testing this and I will let you know what the results are. Because as I mentioned in the open, I'm going to be in Amsterdam like the 27th or the 30th of January. And while I'm there, part of my job, yeah, I'm going to be meeting with clients and I'm going to be going through a presentation out there. But I'm also want to book up my schedule and make sure that every 30 minutes I've got a new meeting with a possible prospect that wants to do business with me. And so the way that I do that is I send out personal emails to business marketing leaders or sales leaders where I introduce myself, right? I know they're going to be at the conference. And I've always included video samples of our work for, companies that are in their industry. But what I'm also going to do is reach out to them and introduce myself with a personalized video. The video is kind of like, I'm just going to do this off the top of my head because I've read the script already. I don't have it in front of me. But the video's like this. It's got two pieces, part A, part B, all right? Part B is pre-recorded. Part A is me saying, hey, John, are you going to be in Amsterdam January 27th through 30th? If so, I'd love to talk to you about how, drop the name of their company, company XYZ is using video or could use video to increase your ROI at faster rates. And then it dovetails quickly into some quick summaries or samples of my videos with me at the end on, now I'm in part B, and then part B ends with a call to action. Click on this button to look at my schedule and schedule an opportunity for us to grab coffee and talk. Now, the reason I'm doing this is because I believe, and another one of my New Year's resolutions is to test. I call it micro tests. I want to test if a personalized video is going to yield 5 more meetings than I would get with just an email, right? Because a personalized email is going to get me 4 meetings for every 100. Will a personalized video get me 10 meetings for every 100 or 150? I need to know this. And the reason is, there's so much low-hanging fruit that I've got to do a better and better job every single day, just like you, of convincing and converting at faster rates, because I know that that's where the biggest revenue increase is. So I'm going to test it. Part A will always be a me talking to the camera to that one individual. Part B will be the standard already created video, and I'm going to pull them together and then send it out in large quantities, right? And I'm going to come back and tell you how that worked for me when I go to Amsterdam and if I'm able to get meetings off of it. I'm also interested in tools. One of my New Year's resolutions is to focus on business tools that generate ROI at faster rates. All right, there are a lot of business tools that help you organize, but can they convert? Those are the tools that I'm going to be interested in. I'm going to be sharing my tips every day. In every meeting, I'm giving advice that changes the trajectory of my clients' businesses. And in 2017, I'm going to share that guidance in video directly to you. So for example, today I was at the gym, and if you saw me, you'd be like, yeah, of course, look at that dude. Of course he was at the gym. Well, today I was at the gym, and a business owner approached me and, you know, and asked, he said, hey, Todd, we're hosting an event to educate our prospects. You have any advice for me? So I asked who was in charge of the contact information, you know, of everybody that's going to be in attendance. And he said that all that contact information belonged to the event sponsor, not to him. And if he can't get access to the names and the email addresses of the attendees, he's got to create a valuable piece of content that everyone in attendance would be excited, thrilled, they could benefit from, something of real value that they could receive, and they would gladly give up their email address to get it. And I also told him to start thinking about this event as the beginning, like the first date. Think of it as an opportunity to do two things. Engage people in attendance with helpful information after the event, which means you can extend the event to develop a deeper relationship. But it also means that he should create a series of helpful follow-up information that he can drip sequence to them. And the second thing here is he should film the event. Put the full event video behind an email opt-in turnstile on his website and use it to maximize his ability to educate his target prospects. You know, most people fail to realize that of your target customers, only 10% are going to make it to that event. And 90% of their target customers may just be lurking online or have something else going on in their schedule that day and not be there. But don't give up hope. Keep hope alive. When I worked for Reverend Jesse Jackson and helped him with his video marketing, I just couldn't help but be like, keep hope alive. And now is the time to keep hope alive, right? Start educating them, gaining influence. And then when they're ready, convert them into paying customers. You got it? Your information, your helpful tips are what they need and what they crave. Don't be hard marketing, be helpful. Helpful's the new viral. It develops relationships. The other thing I'm going to be doing as a New Year's resolution is I'm going to live stream every podcast episode that I can. Why? Well, because I don't want to recreate the same piece of content every single time. And I know that I can skip several rocks with one toss across the water if I do it all at the same time. You know, I'm a former live news guy. I could put my iPhone with Facebook Live rolling, and I could be doing my podcast for audio, but also be sharing it at the very same time, providing it out there for people that want to watch it in real time and want to see me drop an F-bomb and have to do a retake every once in a while. Now, if I have a call with a new prospect, here's another New Year's resolution. This should be valuable to you. If I have a new call with a prospect and their primary decision maker is not able to see my screen, or maybe they can't even make the meeting, whatever the reason is, after that call, I'm going to turn on my QuickTime app, and I'm going to do a brief high-level screen recording of my slides, some of the questions that came up in the meeting, and I'm going to upload it to YouTube, and I'm going to send an unlisted YouTube link via email to the key decision maker. It's going to be basically like a short 3-minute bringing you up to speed video on what happened in the meeting that you couldn't make. And the reason I'm going to do this, and I recommend you doing it, I've actually been doing this for a long time, but it's something that I'm going to do more often. And the reason is because we don't make buying decisions in a vacuum anymore. When you decide on a vendor, when somebody decides to buy your product or service, they don't make that decision on their own anymore. Okay, maybe if it's an impulse buy, like I just bought, and I'm going to put this photo up if they arrive quick enough. I was with my nieces and nephews on Christmas morning, and they got those, you know, those sneakers with the wheels in the back. They're called Heelys, and they've got like a wheel in the heel. They're called Heelys. Well, they're riding around in a restaurant and riding around in their house and everything. So I just decided, damn it, I want an adult pair of Heelys. So I ordered these Heelys. Now, those are different. Any impulse buy, those are things that you are like, cool, I'm going to get that. I don't need my wife's advice. But there are other things that you do need a consensus. Those are like a business service or, you know, a new piece of software that other people in the company are going to use, or maybe an outside company that's going to come in and help you do business better. Those decisions are all done in groups, right? Because people don't walk out on a plank and then jump out without getting buy-in from other people. And video is 3 times more likely to be shared. So when I have a key decision maker that couldn't make the call, it's a missed opportunity for me. So I need to create a QuickTime screen grab video, a highlight summation. They do not need the whole call. 3 minutes, give them an overview, send it off to them. You know what they're going to do? They're going to watch it. But more importantly, they're going to go, man, that guy's pretty damn smart. He's bringing me up to speed. And the reason I'm bringing him up to speed is because in 3 weeks, it's going to be go time for us to talk about a deal. And I need to make sure that that key decision maker that wasn't there is ready and convinced to say yes. Now, in early 2017, I'm going to be launching a new Wirebuzz website. This thing's in the works. So one of my 2017 New Year's resolutions for my business is we're creating a welcome video series. So when new prospects come to our site, they're going to get a short video series that teaches visitors how to generate ROI with their videos. And the reason I'm doing that is I want to break down one of the biggest key objections to using a video service, and that is ROI, right? I want to separate myself from competitors. Always be separating yourself from your competitors. My competitors, they don't know how to generate ROI with video. They're actually hoping the ROI question doesn't ever come up. But I want to take it head on. For me, I'm a digital marketer before a video marketer, right? I understand how to generate ROI using content or, you know, using a video. So that's my opportunity to stand out and say, hey, wait a minute, ROI is the opportunity for my business. So I'm creating a welcome series because I know that it's cheaper if they watch those videos. And when I arrive for that first meeting, it's not going to be their first time knowing about me or learning from me. I should be like Mariano Rivera, confidently walking in from the bullpen to close this deal. That is the power of sending your information before, getting them up to speed. So when you sit down at the table, you're there to friggin' close, right? Start doing it. It'll provide you significantly more confidence. But more than what it provides to you, it should be providing more confidence to your prospects who are now going to understand who you are and the value that you bring to their business. Now, anytime someone follows me on Twitter, my next New Year's resolution, dude, I'm going to be busy this year. My next New Year's resolution is anytime somebody follows me on Twitter and tests me on this, okay? And if I don't do it, call my ass out. But what I am going to do, and it's what I've done in the past, is I'm going to record a quick 20-second personal thank you video to each and every person that follows me. It is a scalable nightmare, okay? But I love creating, as a marketer, tactics that I know will not scale, right? But I can do it at the beginning, and as I do it, it separates me from the rest. It makes me unique, and what it really does is it makes the person who follows me have a simulated personal relationship with me. Let me tell you how this goes. I see that somebody in Dubai, a video marketer in Dubai, hits me up, right, and starts following me. I grab that, and let's say the guy's name is John. I grab my phone. I do a selfie video, and I'm like, hey, John, it's Todd Hartley, the video marketing guy. Thank you so much for the follow. Look, I'm going to be sharing information every day about how you use video to amplify your ROI, right? Look forward to learning from you. All my best. Thanks so much, man. Reach out to me anytime. And I send that off each and every time somebody follows you. And the reason you do it is they will always remember you. Stand out from the crowd, be different. And eventually you get to the point where it's not scalable and you have to back down, and that's okay. That's okay. I like that approach because, as my grandfather always told me, he'd say, Todd, people do business with people they have relationships with. So you always have to be in the business of developing relationships. That is the quickest and easiest way to develop a relationship. And if you don't believe me, you should read an article that somebody who followed me said, wrote an article about how I followed up with their follow with a personal video and what effect that had on them. I'm going to put that in the show notes, wirebuzz.com/56. So you can see that article. And then I'm also going to create a spreadsheet. This is going to be my master spreadsheet for content that I'm going to be providing. And each day I'm going to have on there a different tip, a different tactic, or a different trick, right? And I'm going to share that. Now, often, this is the podcast episode. This is really the long form. Some of the tips and tactics that you hear, or maybe I should say most of the tips and tactics that you hear in this podcast episode will be repurposed into little video tips, right? Or into an image that I share. Don't reinvent the wheel. Make this your format slave to you. I can't come up with a Snapchat tip and a Facebook tip and a LinkedIn tip and have them all be different, but I can create them differently based on who that audience is going to be. And those are my New Year's resolutions on how I'm going to take my business to the next level and how I'm going to train my team and I'm going to use these digital tools to move my company significantly forward in 2017. I'm going to do a post-mortem at the end of 2017 right here on this very podcast, and I'm going to go through my New Year's resolution. I'm going to report back to you as if you're my boss, my jefe, right? We can do that together. And along the way, my micro tests are going to learn some things about what works and what hasn't worked. And because I understand that running micro tests gives you insights, but it also gives you the ability to pivot. Any business that is too proud to pivot is a business that's really quick to going out of business. My favorite pivot story is YouTube. YouTube started as a dating site. I don't know if you know that. A video dating site. And what did they do? They pivoted and they became the video site. And the rest is history. Don't be afraid to pivot. It's not about what you told your parents on day one that your business was going to be. You don't have to die on that sword. What you do have to do is take those investment dollars that you put into your business or the time that you're investing, and maybe you're getting stock in a company, and you need to make that worth value, and it needs to grow. So be comfortable pivoting and adjusting your business with changing market forces, just like you're seeing with Volkswagen Financial Services buying an app that allows you to pay for your traffic tickets. If you want to know where to get started with your own videos and how to pick video topics that are profitable for your business, well, we've created a topic selection worksheet, and you can get access to that at wirebuzz.com/topics. wirebuzz.com/topics. And if you like this podcast, I mean, if this podcast is really valuable to you, if I'm giving you information that can help you be a smarter marketer or a more successful entrepreneur, please subscribe on Stitcher, Google Play, or iTunes, and leave a really honest rating and review. Don't make up shit. Just be honest. I want to learn from your feedback so I could be a better marketer. And to get access to the show notes, wirebuzz.com/56. Think Lawrence Taylor, LT. And before I lock out in this episode, I just want to give you a quick summary. I'm looking for 2017 to take some of the things that I've already discovered and amplify them. I want to speed up my sales process. I want to use a welcome series video to send it to people, new prospects, so when they come to my website or when they meet me or they see me speak or I'm about to go out and meet them, I can send them a video, right? That already gives them an overview on who I am and the value that I bring. I generate ROI with video and I help businesses grow. Anytime somebody follows me on Twitter, I'm going to send them a personal video from me. It's always a little bit different, always wherever I am in the middle of the day, and shaved or not, right? And I'm going to send it back because I want to develop relationships. I'm interested this year in tools that'll help me generate ROI at faster rates. I'm going to be sending personalized videos to people that I want to meet, and in the hopes that I can get a meeting with them and convince and convert them. And then I'm going to report back on how those personalized videos are helping me secure meetings. And I'm also going to be creating tips on a daily basis that center around video. Like, those are my big 2017 New Year's resolutions for me as a business owner. And when a prospect can't make a call, especially if they're the primary decision maker, I'm going to record a quick time screen grab and I'm going to share what they missed in that meeting, because I want to bring them along at faster and faster rates. Look, on behalf of my team at Wirebuzz, our favorite thing to do is to look for the latest news and information that we can use to be very resourceful marketers and then bring that information back to you. Please share with your friends, your colleagues, and family the Video Marketing Mastery Podcast. Get the word out. I absolutely love doing this. And the team here at Wirebuzz will continue to do what we always do each and every week, bringing you the most important information in video marketing so you can advance your business and be the person at that table, inside your office or at your clients, that is the Video Marketing Master.